are lost, but there's a beacon to guide the wander in. It is the power of the cross. We'll hold up the light. We won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We'll proclaim the truth as long as there is time. We'll hold up the light. Let it brightly shine. Through the years we'll see that he's redeemed, as the message was made known. So we'll keep sharing Christ, no matter what the price, till our Savior calls us home. We'll hold up the light. We won't be ashamed to go and tell the Jesus saves. We'll proclaim the truth as long as there is time. We'll hold up the light. Let it brightly shine. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Shine, let it shine. We'll hold up the light. We won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We'll proclaim the truth as long as there is time. We'll hold up the
Thank you for that, ladies. Well, Brother Esposito is going to come at this time. Brother Esposito, why don't you come up? We are honored to have him with us. How many years have you been gone from us now? 3.5 years. Doesn't seem quite long enough. But we're glad to have him back, and he'll be with us also on Sunday. And so let's give Brother Esposito a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
All right. You can be seated. Thank you. What a joy it is to be here, to be back home at Pacific Baptist Church. So much to say and so little time to say it. I want to thank Pastor Myers for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to preach here. It's always a joy to come back home. It's been a blessing the last couple days to teach in the college. It's a good year in the college. The students are very attentive. God's been just doing some special things. Then in the junior high school chapel today, I'm going to tell you, just a good class, good students, had a great chapel service. But it's good to be here today. Just before we get into the message, what I do want to do is I do want to take a moment to talk about the book, Keep the Dream Alive. Most of you are familiar with the phrase, keep the dream alive, and I'll be preaching a little bit about it tonight. Hey, Jesse, good to see you. See you all. Praise the Lord. On the front row. Come on. Good to see you. 3 years ago, October 3rd, I opened up our missions conference on a Thursday night, 3 years ago. I preached from the passage we'll be looking at tonight, Matthew chapter 9. while I was preaching, unbeknownst to us, Pastor Joe had a major headache. He did not know what was coming. Within just a few hours, Pastor was hospitalized, of course, for the last 3 years. By the way, tomorrow is his birthday. And may I say this, the greatest gift that you could give to Pastor Joe is to have a good missions revival. To those of you who have been giving, to give a little bit more. I promise you, if Pastor could be here today, and if we could ask him, Pastor, what would you like for a birthday gift? I promise you, he would say, pray more, give more, yep, and be willing to go. I promise, yep, you. And so I want to encourage you. This missions revival, that's what a missions revival, missions conference is all about. It's encouraging people to give. It's encouraging people to pray and encouraging many people to go. But you, most of you remember, of course, some of you are new. Most of you remember on that night he was hospitalized. He's been in the hospital for the last 3 years. On that night, the last words that any of his children heard, except for apparently Sue. Sue has been living with me in Cambodia now for the last 15 months or so. And she said, well, I heard one other thing. She said, I heard the last thing that my dad said. But the last thing most of the family heard were the words, China or bust. And for the last 3 years, we've been trying to keep that dream alive, not only about China, Southeast Asia. Tonight, we're going to do things a little bit different than we would normally do. This is third, fourth year in a row. I've been here for the missions revival. We're going to do things a little bit different. Tonight, we're going to sort of spotlight what you have been doing as a church in Southeast Asia. And we're going to have a PowerPoint. We're going to show you Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand. And we're just going to commend you for what Pacific Baptist Church, you are keeping the dream alive. And we thank God for that. But that's what this book, it's called Keep the Dream Alive, the Story of One Man's Dream and a Plea to Keep It Alive. It's really, in a sense, it's Pastor's life story. Half of the book or two-thirds of the book is really about how God reached down into the heart of Pastor when he was a Bible college student many, many years ago, gave him a heart for the Cambodian people. He started an Asian bus route, and that's all in this book, how he started an Asian bus route. He came out, started Cambodian Baptist Church, and then how that vision, that dream just got bigger and bigger and bigger, just expanded to where we are today. So I do encourage you to get the book. It's $6. We're not making any money on it, that's for sure. $6. The book was written for Pacific Baptist Church. It was written for the Esposito family and for this church. Amen. Now, we're going to take it to other churches, but to be honest with you, it's not really relevant to the other churches, but it is relevant to you and this church. This is your legacy. Yep. This is where God started what we have here today. So I do encourage you to read it. And I do want to say this, for those of you who may not be able to read, we have a lot of pictures in here. Somebody say amen. I knew I was selling it to Baptists, so amen. But there's a lot of pictures. I encourage you to get it, $6. We also have our book about the 1040 window back there. If you want to get both books, it would be a total of $10. $10. And Brother Meyer said if you buy two, you get $15. If you buy three, $45. I'm not sure exactly. That sounds like some of that fuzzy math that our politicians give us. Amen. I do want to say we do have prayer cards in the back table. I think we passed them out to you. I do want to say this. My email address in that brochure that was passed out is wrong. So get the email address off this. Otherwise, I won't get the email, okay? But we have a lot of information here. Prayer cards, Sarah Vaughn, as always, did a wonderful job with that. So if you are able to do so, let's stand today. And again, it's going to be a little bit different tonight. Thank you for being here, first night of Missions Revival. If you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 9, I would love to be able to say hello to everybody. It's just, by the way, I want to say this. Some of you came here. You haven't been in church for a while. You came here. You came here to visit with me. I want to thank you for that. That means a lot. Thank you very much. You know who you are. I know who you are. Thank you very much for coming. And I appreciate that, and I hope tonight's a blessing. I hope tonight's a blessing for all of us. Missions Revival, first night, Missions Revival. Good to have the Morrisseys. By the way, the Morrisseys, they're all over the world, man. I mean, it's if you go to the Midwest, every church you go to, there's a Morrissey. It's a long story. But Matthew chapter 9, and we don't have time to go into it. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verses 35 to 38. This is the passage of Scripture. I'm doing this on purpose. This is the passage of scripture I preached on October 3rd, 2013, the night that my brother was hospitalized. I preached a message totally different than tonight, but from this text. That night I preached a message praying to the Lord of the harvest about the harvest. But tonight, what I want to do is I want to read this text. I'll make a couple comments about it, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to show a PowerPoint. And I want to help the Pacific Baptist Church family to see what God is using you to do in Southeast Asia. Today, we're going to emphasize Southeast Asia. Sunday morning, Sunday night is going to be a lot of emphasis on China. For those of you who don't know, my wife and I have already packed. We've already moved out of Cambodia. We're on our way to China. So, you know, somebody asked me today, Brother Nate asked me, so how does your wife take this? I mean, you know, like every 2 years, it's not just a new mailing address. It's a new country. I said, I don't know. I haven't asked her, but I'm sure she'll let me know someday. Matthew chapter 9, I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently. And we are excited about being here. And we are coming after you. Brother Meyer said he's coming after you, get you to pray more, get you to give more, and I am too, but I'm also coming after you because I'm looking for people who are willing to give their lives for the Chinese people. So we'll be talking about that a little bit on Sunday. And the Bible says in Jesus, verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I'm not going to spend much time on this. This is, we all know this. There has never been a problem with the harvest. There's never been a problem with the harvest. 1.4 billion people in the country of China. The best estimates of professing Christians, 5%. That's the best. In America, it's 77%. You say, oh, 77% of Americans aren't Christians. Yeah, and 5% of Chinese are not Christian. There's never been a problem with the harvest. The problem has always been for 2,000 years, the laborers. The laborers. And that's why we have Missions Revival. Not everybody here can go physically, but you can go by praying. You can go by giving. And many of you can go physically. Then saith he unto his disciples, harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers few. Then he goes on to say, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now my message 3 years ago was very simple. It was simply this. Pray to the Lord of the harvest about the harvest. And now that was not the theme 3 years ago. What is my part? God, what do you want me to do? Most of you already give. Over the next couple days, the reason you got the faith promise card is a reminder to pray. God, what part do you want me to play? How much more do you want me to give? How much more do you want me to pray? Lord, would you allow me to go? Praying to the Lord of the harvest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you today, and we're so thankful for the Pacific Baptist Church family. We're thankful for Pastor Myers and the unbelievably good job he's done over the last 3 years. Just continuing to lead this church family. And they're keeping the dream alive. And we're thankful for that. And we're thankful, Lord, that tonight we could gather together and we can meet together. And as we meet together, you will move our hearts over the next few days. And you will move our hearts because you are a personal God and you deal with us as individuals. You will move all of our hearts a little bit differently. For some of us, we've never given to missions. And you're going to speak to our hearts about giving for the first time. For many of us, we've been giving to missions for many years. And Lord, no doubt you're going to speak to us about giving some more. Lord, no doubt you're going to speak to most of us, if not all of us, about praying more. And Lord, no doubt you're going to speak to some about going. I pray, Father, that tonight and Sunday that you would speak and that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church over the next few days. And then, Father, tonight I pray that in my very feeble attempt to show the Pacific Baptist Church family what they have accomplished in Southeast Asia the last 5-6 years. I pray that you bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've got a PowerPoint up here. I think we do. But again, tonight's a little bit different than your typical opening night of the missions revival. But you know, really, my thought is this week is over the next couple days is about keeping the dream alive. And as I started thinking about it and I was praying about it, you know, the truth of the matter is, Pacific Baptist Church, you are keeping the dream alive. You're keeping the dream alive by praying for us. You're keeping the dream alive by giving. You're keeping the dream alive by going. I want you to notice this first picture. By the way, I would love to be able to tell you the story behind all of these pictures. We don't have the time. You want to get home tonight. But I will only tell the story about some of the pictures. But I want you to notice this first picture. This is Team Southeast Asia. Almost every one of those individuals, not all of them, but just about every one of those individuals, they came from this church. They were sent out of Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach. Now, let me just help you to understand that because I study these things. I research these things. It takes 35 churches to produce one missionary. I want you to look at the size of that crowd there today. Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach, California has sent quite a crowd of missionaries. You are keeping the dream alive, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for praying. I want to thank you for giving, because just like Pastor Meyer said a few moments ago, we cannot be there without you. We just can't. There's no way that we can afford to be there without you. There's no way that we can be. It's just a different atmosphere, a different culture. We need your prayers, and I want to thank you. I mean, you just look at this is a team meeting once a year. We try to every year, but we try to get together in Bangkok, and our team from Thailand, our team from Laos, our team from Cambodia, and we get together, and we'll get together for 4 or 5 days, and we'll have preaching and teaching and fellowship and strategizing and that type of thing, and this was the meeting was all over. Pacific Baptist Church, I want to thank you for doing your part. And I want to encourage you to continue to do your part. And I want to encourage you to do a little bit more this year than you've done in the past. Go ahead, if you go to the next slide. Again, this is Phnom Penh. For those of you who've been to, quite a few of you have visited Phnom Penh. What's going on in Cambodia is just nothing short of a miracle. It's miraculous. The average Independent Baptist Church in Cambodia, if they have 40 people on a Sunday morning, and we're not into the numbers and everything. If they have 40 people on a Sunday morning, they're thrilled to death. If they have 15 people on a Sunday night, they are ecstatic. There is something really good going on in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. This is our celebration service. There are over 300 people in attendance there. I want you to understand something. Those people, I would say 98% of those people would not be saved today if Pacific Baptist Church had not done your part to pray, to give, and for some to go. The stories are unbelievable. Almost all of those people, many of those people are former Muslim. The vast majority of are former Buddhist. And most of them had no chance, no hope of hearing the gospel. But years ago, Dave Board, who was an assistant pastor here for about 17, 18 years, Dave Board said, I'm going to go. And little by little, different people started following. Brother Tu is back here somewhere, probably sleeping just like he does in Phnom Penh. Brother Tu is back here somewhere. We love his family. Not so much him, but we do love his family. But Brother Tu, you've been there, I think, 6 years, right? Cambodia. And when you look at these people, That's because you've done your part. Go ahead, if you could go. We got to move rapidly. This is Phnom Penh. By the way, most of these pictures, you're going to say, why are you in these pictures? Because I was the one doing the ministry. But the truth of the matter is, we could show you a bunch of pictures, but I take selfies and I don't have pictures of them, okay? So anyway, this is a picture. By the way, Vinak is one of my soul winning partners. He's a former Muslim. Vinak and I, once a week, we go out together. His brother, Mon, and I, once a week, go out together. He interprets for me. We share the gospel. The people are so open. And the truth of the matter is, it's not easy. It usually takes about 6 months for it to click. But to see somebody in Cambodia get saved every week, just about every week, I meet people who never heard the name of Jesus. Even once. I was in the ministry almost 30 years in America. To my knowledge, I never met anyone in America who had never heard the name of Jesus. But every week in Cambodia. And quite frequently, you meet people, they've heard the name of Jesus, but you ask them, who is Jesus? They have no idea who Jesus is. And that's how when we go to these places, it takes weeks, sometimes it takes months, almost always it takes months. But this young man, Vinak, who married one of our girls, Samantha, they have twins, this young man is saved because somebody left Pacific Baptist Church. The vast majority of his family is saved. The church at South Thrive, which, by the way, Brother Tu Keo, wherever he is sleeping back there, wherever he is, Brother Tu, it basically helped to get that thing established and get that thing going, and it's a great work. They're almost all his family. I asked him, I preached here a couple weeks ago, I said, Vinak, how many of, these are former Muslim. I said, how many of your family members are saved and living for God? He said, oh, over 40. Over 40 former Muslims. The entire church, Brother Tu will tell you, almost the entire church, they're related to them. If they ever have a church split, it'll be a problem, but that's another issue. But why did they get saved? Because one day a man left Pacific Baptist Church, supported by Pacific Baptist Church, prayed for by Pacific Baptist Church, named Dave Board. He went to Cambodia and he met a young man named Kasol, and Kasol got saved, and Kasol said, hey, can I take you to my village? And the next thing you know, people are getting saved, a church is planted. Amen. It all started here. I want to thank you for doing your part. And I want to encourage you to increase, whether it's your praying, your giving, and for some of us, being willing to go. Go ahead. Just other pictures. Phnom Penh, these are different men. This is actually Kasol. These are different men that I've been discipling. One of the biggest reasons I went to Cambodia, Brother Board said to me, he said, the ministry's growing. My greatest need is leadership development. So really, the biggest thing I've been doing the last 22 months in Cambodia is just working with guys who were already saved. They were already growing in the Lord. They were already committed to Christ, and just helping them to get to that next level in Christ. And these are some of them. And Kasol is, Brother Tu, am I lying? Am I preaching? Did you tell me or did you not tell me? Okay, everybody, Brother Tu, you know he would never lie. We better go to the next point. Brother Tu, did you or did you not tell me? And I won't call the name of the other missionary. Did you not tell me? We gave up on him. Yeah, come on. This guy, Kasol, he just said yes. You're going to ruin my illustration, brother. This guy, Kasol, was the first one to save the Cham guys. Got saved. But to be honest with you, his three brothers, they grew. They became more committed. Kasol was working a good job, still is working a good job. And over the last year and a half, God has just really worked in his life. And he's helped to start a church in Stunman Jay. But you know why that is? Because many of you, most of you, did your part. You pray, you gave. Just others, go ahead. We have to move rapidly. These are just different people. This is a group that my wife and I do a Bible study with on Fridays, did a Bible study with. Here, this is George and James Rawl. We found them one day just hitchhiking in Phnom Penh. Anyway, they're at our house. This is a day that I disciple. The only big group that I disciple is a group of four or five Cham guys, and they happen to be there and that type of thing. But these are men who love Christ, and they want to do something for God. And the truth of the matter is, our ministry in Phnom Penh, it isn't run by the missionaries. Most of the work, the labor that is being done is by the nationals, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. But that's because Pacific Baptist Church sent out some, and you prayed, and you gave, you did your part, some people were willing to go, and God's doing some amazing things. Go ahead, let's move quickly. Again, Phnom Penh, there's a story behind all these faces here. I do want to tell you about Sochia. I don't think I shared with her. Sochia is a young lady. I can't tell the whole story, but a young lady that we were sort of instrumental into getting to come to our church. She eventually got saved. One day I had some guests in my house, and a knock came on the door, and it's a young lady named Ganya. Many of you know Ganya. And Ganya looked like she was all out of sorts, and she said, "LeGru, teacher Johnny, can you help me? I need some help." And I said, "Well, yeah. Well, what do you need help with?" She said, "Sochia, who had just got saved 2 weeks before, Sochia's at my house right now, and she's trying to commit suicide." And she told me real. I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Sochia just found out that she's going to have a baby." And she told her boyfriend, remember, she's only been saved 2 weeks. She told her boyfriend said, "You either abort the baby or you're out of the house." And so he kicked her out of the house. She's trying to commit suicide. And she said, "Can you come over and help? Because my husband's in the village. I don't know what to say." So I went over and I talked to her and I shared with her. And I think I may have shared some of this story. And I said, "God, you don't need to abort the baby. God will help you." And I didn't hear an audible voice, but God said, "Yes, I will help her, but you're going to do it for me." Amen. And for the next few months, I got her an apartment. We fed her. We paid her rent, her utilities, and that type of thing. And today, not only is she saved, but her brother got saved, her mother got saved, and that baby is the baby that was supposed to be aborted. Because you did your part to pray, to give, and for many folks to go. Go ahead, go to the next slide if you would. This is Stunman Jay. Stunman Jay is one of the poorest areas in Southeast Asia. It is an extremely poor area, and I think I may have shared the story with you last year. We brought Brother Tomlinson and his wife there, and I had told Brother Tomlinson, "Look, you may not want to bring your wife there. It's pretty rugged. It's pretty hard. It's bad." The average Cambodian makes $1.50 a day. The people in Stunman Jay, if they make 50 cents a day, I would be shocked. The poverty is just, it's overwhelming. And so in Stunman Jay, Brother Thompson went, and he said, "Oh, my wife's a trooper. She can handle it." Halfway through our time of visiting, Brother Thompson basically broke down and crying. He said, "I can't handle it anymore." And he walked away. He said, I can't take it anymore. We've been working in Stunman Jay for the last, two and a half years, a little bit before I came, probably 6 months before I came, and we've just seen a lot of fruit, a lot of people getting saved. In recent days, we started a church. This grandma right here, we were labeled, Vinak and I, Letter to Christ, and I think I may have shared her story last year. I was getting ready to leave to Laos to preach for 10 days, and I was saying goodbye to her. I said, "I'll see you in 10 days," and she said, "Maybe, maybe not," and I didn't know what she meant, but I thought she was saying, "Maybe I won't be alive," and I told Vinak, I said, "We are not leaving this hut until this woman either says yes or no to Jesus Christ." And she got saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. And she recently said to me, "I pray to Vinak and me." She said, "I pray for you guys every day." I said, "Praise the Lord." She said, "Now I forget your name." I said, "So when you talk to God, what do you say?" She said, "Well, when I pray for you," pointing at me, she said, "when I pray for you, I say, 'For the bald-headed white man.'" I said, "God knows who I am." Good, good.
Anyway, this is a lady, Pop, Letter to Christ, and we don't have time to tell the story, but and a mom, Letter to Christ. Go ahead, next. Stum and Jay again. Go back. Slow down now. By the way, we're playing Follow the Leader. You see the children follow me and the dog. Somebody say amen. By the way, I have to tell you this. I finally ate dog. I just did it, man. I did it. But by the way, 2 weeks ago in Laos, I ate grasshopper or locust or I have rat. But I'm not sure what it was. But I did not eat dog on purpose. Don't hold against me. This is Chris Ayala and Joy Esposito's fault. Chris heard rumor that I wasn't going to let them get married. One night, Joy came in and she said, "Dad, you got to try this meat." And I said, "Man, I'm full. We just went out." I said, "I am stuffed." And I should have figured it out. She was very persistent. "Dad, you got to try this meat. Really, Dad, you got to try this meat." I said, "Joy, I'm stuffed. I'm not hungry." And she said, "Dad, really, you got to try. This stuff is great." I said, "Joy, I can't." So she dropped it. The next day, her, Sue, and my wife were going to the Chinese embassy, I think it was. And I don't eat breakfast, but I usually eat about 10 o'clock, and they're getting ready to leave. You know how most of us men are. When the women leave, it's like, what are we going to eat? What are we going to do? You know? And I said, well, what am I going to eat while you guys are gone? So Joy said, very kindly, she said, "Well, Dad, we got some of that meat in the refrigerator, and we got some stir fry, some rice, and that type of thing." So they left, and it hit about 10 o'clock, brunch time, I'm ready to eat. So I get the meat out. I get the rice out. I get it all put on a plate, throw it in the microwave. Man, I ate it. Stuff was good. Man, wow. Stuff was great. I text Joy. I said, "Joy, that meat was great." And she texts back. She said, "Did you try it?" I said, "Try nothing. I ate the whole thing." I mean, she said, "Do you?" Then I knew I was in trouble. She said, "Do you want to know what it was?" I said, "No." She sent me the picture of the dog's head. Anyway, but I want to tell you this. How many of you like carne asada? It tasted just like carne asada. I'll tell you this. Now, if you'll remind me Sunday, I'm going to tell you a Karina Flores story, but not tonight. Okay, it's about dogs and German shepherds. But anyway, okay, we'll tell you something tonight. But anyway, this is Stumpin' Jay. We just recently started a church, and God's doing some mighty things there. Go ahead, next slide. Stumpin' Jay again, the children. You know, the Asian children are just so precious. And there's a lot of reasons they're precious, but one of the reasons they're precious in that part of the world is because they get no affection and they get no attention. None. And you just go over there and you love them, and literally, like a Pied Piper, they'll follow you. There are times, you know, because in America, we're a little bit nervous about children following you and they're going to call the police and that type of thing. In Cambodia, they're following me and we're leaving where they live. I'm like, "I need to go home, man. I don't want to go to jail." But, you know, Laos and Cambodia are very young countries, and there's reasons for that. A lot of people died, of course. A lot of children, a lot of teenagers who just need to be loved. And in Phnom Penh in Cambodia, we go to 10 or 12 different villages, and we have children's ministry, and we're just loving them to Jesus Christ. But we could not do that if you weren't doing your part. Yep. And I want to thank you for praying. I want to thank you for giving. Just so many different stories I would love to tell you about the children. And by the way, they love selfies. If you see me a picture like that, a selfie, that's not me. They're telling me, "Take a picture, and they don't even really want me. They just want my camera. Okay, go ahead. Next slide. This is South Ride. This is the Cham village, the former Muslim. Probably 60% of the church is former Muslim. About 40% of it is Khmer. A lot of people getting saved. I preach there once a month. I go there, spend 3 or 4 hours soul winning. I spend some time, some leadership development with some of the not staff, but their leaders, if you would, church leaders. And then we have a service. This was right after the service. And, man, they packed those tuk-tuks. I am telling you, Brother Two, I think they have one of your old tuk-tuks. They packed those things. I mean, they come in with 30 children, 40 children, packed in there. And those kids are excited. They want to sing. They want to sing about Jesus. They had no idea who Jesus was until missionaries came. And the missionaries couldn't come, couldn't go, if you didn't do your part. Thank you for doing your part. Go ahead, quickly. Again, this is South Rye, and this is a children's ministry in, Brother Two, remind me, the village where Chai goes to. I forget the name of the village. Yeah, Prebon. There you go. And we have children's ministry there. And Joy, what's the name of the new village? Where's Joy at? Doll, or something like that. But these children are precious. And again, we go to all these different villages. When I say we, not me, we've just got but mostly it's our nationals. And we do that on purpose, and they're just, first of all, they could reach their people far better than we can ever reach their people. They love their people, and they're just doing a great job. We just sort of provide a little bit of leadership and vision and that type of thing, resources, which they don't have. But go ahead, go to the next slide. Here's three folks. These are two families that Vanak and I had the opportunity to lead to Christ in a village named Chamka, I think. Chamka, I think it's Chamka Village. It's not far from South Rye. Boy, I wish I could tell the stories, just precious stories here. But these three, husband and wife and adult daughter, they had, unlike most Cambodians, they had some knowledge of Christianity, so it was easy to share the gospel with them. It was sort of like maybe going to the Philippines or to Mexico, people who are Catholic. They already understand and believe a lot of things we believe, but they, you know, their trust in works and that type of thing. That's how this family was, and they were just really caught up on works. And so what I did, I don't think I've ever done this before. I said, well, I believe in good works, and I try to do good works. I said, I said, look, I've been married so many years, and I got children. I try to be a good husband, good father. I'm a missionary. I left my family. I left my friends. I left my home. I came out here. I'm preaching. I go to church all the time. And I made a list of all the good works. I said, but, you know, none of those works will get me to heaven. Right. None of them. Yeah. And all three of them, like in unison, they said, if you do all of those things and you can't get to heaven, I'm telling you, they said, what can we do to go? It was like, what must I do to be saved? I said, man of God. And they all got saved, and they are all faithfully attending the church in South Rye. But anyway, that could not have happened if you didn't do your part, if you didn't pray, you didn't give. And I want to encourage you. Many of you have been praying, and many of you have been giving. I want to encourage you to do more. And I know, look, I know things are expensive. Man, as soon as I hit the States, it's like, oh, brother, we're back in America. Somebody say amen. Not to mention the ticket I got coming back from. But anyway, we won't even mention that one. But look, I know everybody's stretched, but I promise you, if you are willing to let God stretch you a little bit more this missions revival, God will help you to pray more, to give more, and in many cases, to go. Go ahead, next slide, if you would. Again, this is South Rye. We're getting ready to go out soul winning. On my right, your left, there. Can you pick out the foreigner? Can anyone figure out who the white guy is? Where's Waldo? Okay, there. And these folks are faithful soul winners. And again, that all started. These are all former Muslims. And they're going out reaching people for Jesus Christ. And here I'm meeting with the men from that church. I think every one of those are former Muslim, meeting with them, just some leadership development, training. And these guys are hungry for the Word of God. But see, I couldn't be there. And Brother Board couldn't be there. And Brother Two couldn't be there. Sarah couldn't be Adrian. By the way, Adrian's getting married pretty soon. Abuna couldn't be there. We couldn't be there if you didn't pray and if you didn't give. Thank you for doing your part. Go ahead, next slide, if you would. Our team in Laos. I lived in Laos for 17 months, worked with Brother Kumley. That was a miracle in itself. But anyway, worked with Kumley for 17 months. A great job is being done there. thankful. I've been there 5 times over the last 22 months. I usually go there 10 to 12 days. I preach, teach. There's about 4 churches, a couple Bible institutes that I teach in. I love the Lao people. If you ever have the opportunity to go visit Lao and see the work there, I encourage you to do it. By the way, don't be afraid. By the way, even Miss Torres went to Lao. Okay, if Miss Torres could go to Lao, anybody could go to Lao. Amen? And she only went to check on Adrian's future wife. But anyway, but great, great work. Of course, Lao, just like China, is a total different ball game. You can't pass out in Cambodia. I share the gospel minimum 5 times a week to 5 different people, 5 to 10 times. And we can pass out tracts. You can't do that in Lao. You can't do that in China. It's a whole different ball game. You just have to find creative ways. So these are just some of the people. That was my wife's English class there. It, for some reason, doesn't look like they're studying English. It looks like they're having a party to me. But go ahead, next slide. Just some of the people in Lao. We had a volleyball league. Excuse me. Just constantly doing things to find ways to build relationships with people, share the gospel. These are some dear friends of ours that we've shared the gospel, give them tracts. These are some little girls that I've sort of adopted as granddaughters over there. They're unsaved family. They're not saved. My wife and I lived in a hotel for the first 2 months that we lived in Lao. By the way, my wife and I have not moved out of suitcases for like 5 or 6 years. So, I mean, just that's, it is what it is. Amen. But we lived in a hotel. Their mother has a little shop in front of the hotel, and I always bring them candy. Every time we go to Lao, we bring them Christmas gifts, and I give them tracts and that type of thing. And my wife is always worried I'm going to go to jail, but no problem. We got a good insurance policy. These are our neighbors in Lao. Go ahead, next. Next. This is right here on my right, your left, is 2-3 weeks. I was in Lao 2-3 weeks ago, and President Obama came to Lao. I thought he came to hear me preach, but that wasn't exactly why he was there. But he was there the same time I was there. The whole city, man, just closed down. A couple of my meetings got canceled. Security was high alert. My wife actually was flying out of the country. She saw Air Force One, and I said, did you take a picture? She said, I did, but it didn't turn out. I said, you've got to be kidding. You were that close to Air Force One. Oh, anyway, but we had to go 40 minutes outside of the city to have a church service. So this is a church service right there that I'm preaching at. This is... Denise, where is this? Oh, this is the village I was, this is a Hmong village in Lao. I was there a couple weeks ago. You can figure out where I am. I'm the white guy. What a blessing. This is run by a guy. He's 18 years old, 19 years old. He's only been saved a year. His name is Gong, and he got saved. He's Boon Mi. Can everybody say Boon Mi? You'll hear that name quite frequently in the future, okay? Boon Mi is Adrian's friend. They're real good friends. But Gong is Boon Mi's brother. And don't have time to, but he's running this whole thing. This is in Lao. Kum Lee's only been out there twice in five months they've been running. It was such a blessing to be able to be there. And none of these people were saved 5 months ago except for one person. And to hear them sing and sing songs about Jesus, sing songs to Jesus. I was just blown away. I told, of course, Kumli's in the States, so he wasn't there. I told the Nationals who took me there, I said, man, this is the highlight of my trip. I love to be around lost people who need Jesus. It was just a blessing. Now, this is Bible Institute, just teaching the Bible Institute. Go ahead, if you go to the next slide real quickly. We need to move rapidly. This is some other churches in Lao that we've had influence over. These are not churches that we've started, but we've had influence. Years ago, when most of you don't even know the story, Kum Lee and Durat were on their way to Cambodia. 10 days from going to Cambodia. They already had their tickets to Cambodia. And Pastor Joe pulled a Pastor Joe. He called Kum Lee and he said, hey, I want you to go to Lao. By the way, Brother Board did not appreciate it, but we'll just leave it there. I want you to go to Lao. Kum Lee went to Lao, and because of that, we've built relationships, and we're able to influence and help. So these are some of the churches that I preached in. I've taught in their Bible institutes. Actually, we support one of the guys, Pastor Kampai, which is right over here. On my left, your right here, is whenever I go to the country, last two times I've went to the country, they have a bunch of factory workers. These are girls who work 7 days a week, or 6 or 7 days a week, like 15 hours a day, and they make $100 a month. They work slave labor. But they moved from villages into the city, and once they moved into the city, they got introduced to Christ through Pastor Kampai's ministry. So about 6 months ago, he asked me, he said, Pastor Johnny, when you come to Laos, the next time you come to Laos, can you do something special? I said, sure, what do you want to do? He said, we have these girls, the factory workers, and of course I preached for them many times, I knew who they were. He said, we have these girls, can you have special sessions just for them? I said, sure. And so we'll meet with them for two or three nights, and I'll order some pizza for them. They all love pizza. I'll order some. By the way, they could never afford to have pizza. Never. And it's just a special time. And I try to encourage them and say, girls, almost all of them are illiterate. They can't read. They come from extremely poor homes. The truth of the matter is, humanly speaking, they have no hope for anything. Yeah. And what I do is I try to go there and to encourage them that God loves you and God has a plan for your life and God will use you. But I can only do that, and our team can only do that in Laos because you were willing to do your part. You prayed. You gave, and I want to encourage you to pray more and to give more. Go ahead, let's move quickly. Just other churches in Laos, I don't have time to tell the story. This right here is, I flew into Laos, and I met with some pastors from the northern part of the country. Kamu pastors, just a different tribal group. They're all pastors except for one or two guys. I think they're preparing for the pastorate. I met with them for a couple days, 3 or 4 hours a day, taught, somebody interpreted for me. I think I may have shared the story. I'll probably share some because this is where Karina Flores gets in the story. But I asked all of them, what is your favorite food? Everybody's wondering, what is the Karina Flores say? I'll tell you Sunday. You got to come back. But anyway, I said, what is your favorite food? And they all said lop, lop, lop. And I love lop. It's like my favorite food, too. But the last guy looked, and the oldest guy, big old smile on his face, he said, dog. It wasn't the fact that he said dog. His smile went from ear to ear. It was funny. It was so funny. I text messaged Dwight Thomas in the United States. I said, dude, you are not going to believe what I'm going through right now while I'm teaching. This guy just said dog, and he's got a big smile. And I said, dog? He said, yeah, and the bigger they are, the better. I said, really? Okay. And then he said, and I like the ones that bark loud. I said, okay. And on that note, I'll tell you about Karina on Sunday. Okay, go ahead. So go, but this is more churches. This is actually an ordination service in Laos that I was the guest speaker preaching for, ordination service, and this is a church service. This may have been the ordination service also. Go ahead, quickly, Laos. Again, when we went to Laos, when Kum Lee and the girls went to Laos, there was only one independent Baptist church in the entire country run by a national. There were two Filipinos there, and the truth of the matter is the Filipino guys have predominantly Filipinos, and Kum Lee and the girls went, and many people are getting saved, and lives are being changed. Oh, it's not like Phnom Penh. It's not like Cambodia, and it probably never will be. As a matter of fact, if they try to have a celebration service, the ministry will be over. But I want to thank you for doing your part, and I want to encourage you to do some more this year. Thailand. My favorite missionaries are Tom and Sue Suttrick. They are the real deal. They are real missionaries. I mean, they moved into the village with nothing, okay? No toilet, no nothing. I mean, retired couple, and they are just doing a fantastic job there. And this is a ministry. There's Sue. She doesn't look like she's soul winning. She looks like she's preaching. But anyway, but this is just some of the pictures. Go ahead, go quickly. Some more pictures. Tom right there baptizing, and you can see him sharing the gospel. You can see them having a special service right here. Just a little wooden building up in the mountains. If you ever get a chance, you have to go visit them. They are way, 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 way up there. They're just far away from civilization. But you know, it really all started with... Somebody steal a book? Oh, here we go. With a dream 30 years ago, 35 years ago. A young Bible college student. And Bible college students, I want to say, dream on. Dream on. It started with a dream. And it started with just some Cambodian bus kids. And that dream just kept expanding and it kept growing. And then it became Cambodian Baptist Church. And then we moved and we changed the name to Pacific Baptist Church. Then we moved again to this building. And then the next thing you know, we have Dave Board going to Cambodia. And then little by little, people started going to Cambodia. And then, but you know, the one thing about my brother, the one thing about Pastor Joe, he was never satisfied. He used to talk about, don't let the complacency disease set in. He was always dreaming. And I want to encourage you, Pacific Baptist Church, dream on. Amen. Dream on. Just keep dreaming. Keep the dream alive. And as a matter of fact, I don't want you to just keep the dream alive. And I don't think God wants you to just keep the dream alive. I think God wants you to expand on the dream. As I, by the way, as I mentioned in this book, this is not about one man's dream. This is about our God's desire to reach the unreached, unengaged peoples of the world. And so we're thankful that you have been willing to do your part to pray. We're thankful that you've been willing to do your part to give. And as we meet together here for Missions Revival, as we've been reminded year after year after year, Sunday night, this church is going to have a business meeting. You're going to have a business meeting, and that business meeting Sunday night will determine the eternal destiny of men and women who are lost without Christ. You say, well, what do you mean? How are we going to vote? You're going to vote by giving, you're going to vote by praying, and you're going to vote, many of you, by saying, I will go. That's what Missions Revival is about. Go ahead, Jeremy. I think we might have one or two. These are other churches in Thailand. I wish I had time to tell the stories, but we don't have time to tell the stories. Some of the stories I've told in the past. Go ahead, if you go quickly. Now, I'll talk about this Sunday. Okay, look, we've been talking about it for 3 years. China or bust, keep the dream alive. When I was in the military, we used to have a saying, talk is cheap. Yep. Now's the time to say, we're going to go. Yep. So my wife and I, Lord willing, in 5-6 months, we're going to move to China. But can I just say something? I'm almost 60 years old. I know I look 29. I'm almost 60 years old. Now, if you ask the Cambodian people, they think I look 70 and 80. It's amazing. My wife and I will not be able to do much of anything in China. We are moving to China for one reason. Because we're believing that some of you will follow. That's it. That's it. That's the only reason. If it was all about the ministry, I'd stay in Cambodia. We're thriving. I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm going to go to China. It's going to be very difficult for a 60-year-old man to learn the Chinese language. I can barely speak English. Somebody say amen. But I'm going to China for you. And I'm going to China believing that some of you will say, now it's not talk anymore. We have somebody there. We'll go. We're just about done. Matthew chapter 9, passage we read, Jesus sees the multitudes. His heart is moved with compassion. He says the fields, the harvest fields are plenteous. That's never been the problem. He said the laborers are few. That's what Missions Revival is all about. Over the next couple days, God will, not he might, God will stir our hearts. He's going to stir our hearts. Some of us, he's going to stir our hearts to start giving for the first time. For some of us, he's going to stir our hearts to start giving a little bit more. For some of us, he's going to stir our hearts to really stretch our faith and give a lot more so that we can see more fruit. He's going to stir our hearts to pray. And I have very little doubt that he's going to stir many hearts about going. Amen. I want to thank you, Pacific Baptist Church, 28 years now. I want to thank Pacific Baptist Church for 28 years for doing your part. I'm going to thank you. What's being done in Southeast Asia is being done by God's grace and because you have been willing to do your part. But I want to encourage you to not be satisfied. I want to encourage you to do more for the glory of God and for the good of a lost and dying world. Yes. Let's stand and let's pray.